He left the Great Hall with Professor McGonagall. She didn't seem herself either. In fact, she looked nearly as anxious as Hermione. As she walked him down the stone steps and out into the cold November afternoon, she put her hand on his shoulder.
"Now don't panic," she said. "Just keep a cool head. We've got wizards standing by to control the situation if it gets out of hand. The main thing is to just do your best, and nobody will think any the worse of you. Are you all right?"
"Yes," Harry heard himself say. "Yes, I'm fine." She was leading him toward the place where the dragons were, around the edge of the forest. But when they approached the clump of trees behind which the enclosure would be clearly visible, Harry saw that a tent had been erected, its entrance facing them, screening the dragons from view.
"You're to go in here with the other champions," said Professor McGonagall in a rather shaky sort of voice. "And wait for your turn, Potter. Mr. Bagman is in there. He'll be telling you the procedure. Good luck."
"Thanks," said Harry in a flat, distant voice. She left him at the entrance of the tent. Harry went inside. Fleur Delacour was sitting in a corner on a low wooden stool. She didn't look nearly as composed as usual, but rather pale and clammy. Victor Crumb looked even surlier than usual, which Harry supposed was his way of showing nerves. Cedric was pacing up and down. When Harry entered, Cedric gave him a small smile, which Harry returned, feeling the muscles in his face working rather hard, as though they had forgotten how to do it.
"Harry, good old," said Bagman happily, looking around at him. "Come in, come in, make yourself at home."
Bagman looked somehow like a slightly overblown cartoon figure, standing amid all the pale-faced champions. He was wearing his old wasp robes again.
"Well, now we're all here, time to fill you in," said Bagman brightly. "When the audience has assembled, I'm going to be offering each of you this bag."
He held up a small sack of purple silk and shook it at them.
"From which you will each select a small model of the thing you are about to face. There are different, varieties, you see, and I have to tell you something else too. Ah, yes, your task is to collect the golden egg."
Harry glanced around. Cedric had nodded once to show that he understood Bagman's words, and then started pacing around the tent again. He looked slightly green. Fleur Delacour and Crumb hadn't reacted at all. Perhaps they thought they might be sick if they opened their mouths. That was certainly how Harry felt, but they, at least, had volunteered for this. And in no time at all, hundreds upon hundreds of pairs of feet could be heard passing the tent, their owners talking excitedly, laughing, joking. Harry felt as separate from the crowd as though they were a different species. And then, it seemed like almost a second later to Harry, Bagman was opening the neck of the purple silk sack.
"Ladies first,"
he said, offering it to Fleur Delacour. She put a shaking hand inside the bag and drew out a tiny, perfect model of a dragon, a Welsh green. It had the number 2 around its neck, and Harry knew by the fact that Fleur showed no sign of surprise, but rather a determined resignation, that he had been right. Madame Maxime had told her what was coming. The same held true for Crumb. He pulled out the scarlet Chinese fireball. It had a number 3 around its neck. He didn't even blink, just sat back down and stared at the ground. Cedric put his hand into the bag, and out came the bluish-grey Swedish short snout, the number 1 tied around its neck. Knowing what was left, Harry put his hand into the silk bag and pulled out the Hungarian horntail, and the number 4. It stretched its wings as he looked down at it and bared its minuscule fangs.